Well, hello to everybody there in French Creek. I'm assuming that's up in the Nanaimo, BC area. Good afternoon or good morning, whichever it may be. It's Stefan Wilshaw talking to you here from Lindsay, Ontario. Actually, we're feasting up in Collingwood this year, so we do send our hellos to you and hope that all is going well. Now, this summer, my wife Sandy and I finished a backyard project. The project that we took on was replacing the existing decks that were there with brand new ones. Now, that project started well in the spring. It was still fairly cool out, and it went right on through until a good little bit into the summer. Now, one afternoon, we were both relaxing out there in the yard, enjoying the fruits of our labors, and we're sitting out there in the lower stone portion of our new creation with our feet up, and a thought came into my mind. The thought was a phrase that I'd actually heard on the television Sportsnet channel a few days earlier while I was down at the gym. A phrase that I actually took the time to write down after I had heard it. And this phrase, the statement that I heard was this. The guy on the TV said, the commentator said, the game is constantly changing. And when I heard this statement, it brought to my mind something a little different than what he was talking about. I got to thinking about it on a spiritual level, because we are also involved in a game. Now, it's not baseball, or it's not football, or one of these other games we see being played out here on terra firma. But it's a game, nonetheless, involving only, this time, something much more important. It's a game involving the spiritual. We might want to call this game the game of life. For our first scripture in this message, let's take a look at Hebrews 13. Please turn with me there, if you don't mind. And while you're turning there, what we all maybe could consider is the importance of this game of eternal life that we are all participating in. If you want a title for my message here, the title that I have chosen is Creating Perfection. Now, perhaps you might label it something different, because there are other titles that might pop into your mind as well. So here we are in Hebrews 13, probably a fairly well-worn section of the Bible. Probably Paul wrote this epistle to the Hebrews. You know, there's so many scriptures that we could use concerning us as the saints of God as we participate as players in this end game of life. Now, I want to use only one verse here. We've read it many times. Let's consider it. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Paul wrote here for us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, why is this? Well, because he, Jesus Christ, is not the one who has to change. Doesn't have to change, does it? Now, we're all part of Christ's team. We are teammates, and we are all, aren't we? Hence, first fruits. Okay? Do we actually see this? Because we should. Because we are all involved in playing this game of eternal life on Christ's team as teammates, in such a way that we need to remain in the game right until the very end. There's going to be no substitution. There's going to be no getting out of the game. We have to remain in the game to the end. Now, we all realize that the Word, before he came in the flesh, gave up his existence in the heavens with the Father and took on a fleshly role, didn't he? And he played in this same game that we're now all playing in, but the role was different than what we're playing. But needless to say, Christ gave up this existence in the heavens to play in this game, and he came and he played to win. Jesus Christ was successful. He played in what we would call a perfect game. And he had you and I in mind, didn't he? Let's turn back to Matthew 5 this time. Let's take a look at this. Here we are in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we'll read it on into the context a bit. Matthew 5, verses 43, and we'll read it down to 48, six verses there. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So in these six verses, we see the movement from what actually comes next, which is hating the enemy, to becoming like the Father in heaven, showing a movement towards that which is perfect. A whole series of sermons probably could be done concerning all the changes that we need to make personally in our lives. And I'm sure that you've had many of these issues burned into your mind throughout all your personal Bible studies and from all the messages that have come over the course of time from the ministry. We all want to be like Christ, to be successful, to come up in the first resurrection, to be called onto that sea of glass and come back on trumpets back to the earth with Christ to help with setting up the kingdom of God. And these thoughts really just wow us, don't they? Well, God wants to create as much perfection in each one of us as possible. That very last verse there, Matthew 5, verse 48, red lettered in my Bible, therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We've all studied this many times. So, what is the bottom line? What is the optimum objective? Sorry. We, brethren, we know what it is. It's what this week pictures. Here we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles that once again started on the 15th day of the 7th month. The Feast of Tabernacles, as we know, pictures the rule and reign of Jesus Christ here on the earth. We know it's not the World Series. We're not going to get a ring, a Stanley Cup ring either. Not any of these temporary goals that humans strive for. We are striving for the unperishable crown of eternal life that only God the Father will be handing out to those of us here playing as first fruits, to those of us that overcome. We have to overcome this life by personally applying the word and living by the word of his son, Jesus Christ. We could call him El Capitan, the rock. Now, is there a day that goes by that we don't marvel about this awesome kingdom of God that we're in this game for? About Jesus Christ as King of Kings, about seeing God the Father and Jesus Christ face to face? How about being a king or a priest under Christ? What about eternal life? How about having a spiritual body? Well, we're starting to make a bit of a list here, aren't we? And the list could go on further and further. Well, there's no question about it. Brethren, we're going to be in glorious company, perfect company at that time. All this that we are experiencing at this present time is for the expansion of God's family. And as we know, we have to be putting off the old man and putting on Christ, the perfect man. He has called us to be first fruits of his creation. We won't turn there, but we can read of that in Revelation 14 and verse 4. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. Back to the book of Hebrews again. And we'll read a couple scriptures there. We'll read Hebrews 12 and verses 1 and 2. And then we'll skip down and we'll read verses 22 and 23. Verse 1, Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entraps us. Let us run the race set before us with endurance, having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross, although he despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the joyous festival gathering, and to the church of the firstborn, registered in the book of life in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just, who have been perfected. Amazing. As we started out, our game is constantly changing, because we are all called to change. We are all on the road behind the narrow gate that leads to this perfection. The perfection of God the Father and the perfection of the Son, Jesus Christ. Sonship is yet ahead of us. I will say that it's fully born sonship. That's what ahead of us. That's what's still ahead of us. Let's stay in the game, brethren, and let's be about our Father's business. Brethren, enjoy the rest of the feast and enjoy the fellowship with each other out there in French Creek, British Columbia. All the very best from both Sandy and I here in Lindsay, Ontario. Bye for now.